This is episode 19 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Philip Kinsella's book, Terrestrial Trespassers, The Greys, Abductions, and Areas of High Strangeness. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I'll put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from chapter 5, which is titled Those Crashed UFOs. And this part is titled Aliens in Distress. And this is what Philip has written. On looking at just a very few cases of supposed UFO crashes, one wonders whether there is a deliberate attempt from the alien pilots, if any, to avert their falling craft away from the population at large. Although we can only assume this may very well be the case, it seems difficult to comprehend that advanced extraterrestrial intelligences from across the void would meet with such perilous conditions and on a planet less advanced than themselves, or so it is theorized. If, and has been argued previously, UFOs can traverse both time and space and utilizing incredible speeds, how then would they fail within the Earth's terrain through adverse weather conditions? Observations of UFOs, and those legitimate cases, on film recordings forces us to consider that our visitors use some type of interdimensional travel as opposed to normal space voyage, which we as human species are still accustomed. Although we have thousands of planes traversing various continents across the world daily, there is always a slim chance that a crash is imminent. Yet, the scarce appearance of UFO crashes does cause one to ponder as to why their end goes technically wrong. This is a very human way of thinking, as extraterrestrials may be so far ahead of us in terms of intellect. But the question nevertheless remains. There is the suggestion that the ETs themselves have created very advanced crafts using Earth's materials while stationed on our planet. This would mean that such aliens are, to a large extent, Earth-based. Varied reports from across the world have determined that such vessels have been witnessed coming out of the ocean, and something which may indicate that aliens have bases under the sea. I had a dear friend named Peter Castle, who'd been in the Navy as a young man, and had proceeded to tell me when he, along with the crew on deck, witnessed a huge, disc-shaped silver UFO emerging from the ocean's waters, where it hung for a while before shooting up into the sky at incredible speed, and all in broad daylight. He, along with the crew, were warned not to speak of their encounter to anyone. This is nothing new, but it would give us some idea as to the USO, unidentified submersible object, having subterranean stations, and perhaps in inhospitable and unreachable areas free from human contamination. We can conclude that if UFOs can sustain themselves beneath the depths of our oceans, then their technology is sufficiently advanced to allow them to make frequent trips across our planet. To my mind, the UFO and USO are one of the same, as is now the new acronym UAP, which is the latest name affixed to what had always been known as unidentified flying object. For example, we have large commercial planes to carry passengers halfway across the world, and then we have smaller aircraft for much shorter journeys. Within our military elite, new patents and creations would not be flaunted to the world. Such revolutionary technological advanced aircraft would remain as top secret and known as classified projects. Might we consider that our visitors have themselves back-engineered Earth-based UFOs so that, and in the event of a crash, there would be no real clues as to their actual origins, and that their real technology is stored away in such hidden stations and used in the event of the interdimensional journeys across time and space? This is mere conjecture, but it's as much as we have at this present moment. Concerning alleged UFO crashes, the materials of the craft appear as mere shells in nature, with not a lot in the way of clues as to how these devices were piloted. Many researchers correctly assume the UFOs operate via anti-gravity propulsion, but the rest of it, how it's all done, is a big mystery. And the strange thing about UFO crash retrievals is that very little remains to identify how the visitors themselves go about traversing the unknown boundaries of the universe. Such accounts of those involved in all areas of UFO research always come with a high level of high strangeness and borders along a nightmarish and childlike quality, and something we will be discussing much later. This also brings in the assumption that the military have, themselves, what's known as a UFO crash retrieval unit, which is specifically trained to go in, secure, and clean up any debris of crashed UFO material. Although this sounds far-fetched, there has always been rumour that such operations are indeed a reality. Procedures of this kind would be a vast improvement to the rather sloppy situation which occurred during the 1947 Roswell, New Mexico UFO crash, seeing that, and as far as we are aware, this has been the first known major event of a downed craft of unknown origin which involved members of the Roswell Army. I believe lessons have been learnt here, and certainly if such rumours are to be believed. It would appear then that the United States of America are the go-between concerning such secret retrieval programmes, and that any foreign objects which are within restricted areas across the world, bar from a few countries, is flown directly to them for analysis. This would be intended for the sole purposes of back engineering for the military's technological and weapons unit. It would make sense that such clandestine operations be enforced, regardless of what the public believe. Yet when anyone within the secret military corps come forward, claiming they'd worked on secret projects involving apparent extraterrestrial technology, there is little in the way of proof. Perhaps those who preside over such clandestine operations ensure that any paperwork or information linked to those employed is completely erased. Bob Lazar is one example when it comes to spilling the beans on so-called back-engineered technology from crashed UFO hardware. He came forward in 1989 to protect himself and his family for fear of suddenly disappearing off the radar, so to speak. Although Lazar's case is indeed complex, he nevertheless addresses the fact that he'd worked at the infamous Area 51, Groom Lake, based in Nevada, as a physicist, working on anti-gravity propulsion technology salvaged from a vehicle not from this planet. Journalist and best-selling author of Hunt for the Skinwalker, George Knapp, had investigated Lazar's claims and believed them to be true. Most of this information can be found in Lazar's autobiography, Dreamland. Area 51 is rumoured to secrete not only UFOs but also aliens. It is quite clear the establishments of power do not wish for the public at large to know about the UFO reality. One wonders what they are hiding, and whether the revelation that we're not alone in this vast cosmos, as once thought, would really topple society. Is there a more nefarious reason behind the cover-up? As with our military elite, who, themselves, conceal everything in terms of new technological developments from public scrutiny, the same could be said for the visitors. They would not want their technology to fall in the hands of a developing and warmongering species. A little harsh when describing humanity, but that has always been the way it is. Every angle of safety would be paramount in guaranteeing this situation does not occur. However, this very situation has happened, and quite often. This is curious to say the least, and there may well be another angle that we can take when exploring this most puzzling enigma. If they are already here, and something I firmly believe, then they would be aware of the enormous air traffic we humans use, not to mention the birds, drones, and other such airborne devices and structures that invade the skies daily. Adverse weather conditions like thunder and lightning must also be considered when the visitors are using their UFOs within our atmosphere, whether remotely or personally, to ensure utmost safety. It was speculated that the Roswell UFO back in 1947 had been brought down by none other than lightning, because there had been a violent storm within the county around the time and shortly after the wreckage had been discovered. Or that two UFOs had accidentally collided with one another, which resulted in their demise. This is very hard to believe. We don't know where the visitors are coming from, but we can theorise that, perhaps, They are gaining entry through our material space, or even higher and lower dimensions are also a distinct possibility. So this week I was reading from Philip Kinsella's book, Terrestrial Trespassers, The Greys, Abductions, and Areas of High Strangeness. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.